Welcome to Career Tools. This is Wendy.
And this is Amanda.
Today's cast, Minimum Viable Skill Level, How to Optimize Your Professional Development, Part 2.
The questions that this cast answers are, how do I choose which skills to work on? What is the minimum viable skill level and why is it important? And how can understanding minimum viable skill level improve my professional effectiveness?
If you want answers to these questions and more, keep listening.
Watching the Olympics always makes me think of how witnessing greatness can push us to do our best at work. And if you're hiring, adding to the team can do the same thing. A great new hire can bring in new ideas, skills, and possibilities. We can teach you how to hire the best possible candidate at our effective hiring trainings. The next virtual event on Zoom is August 12th and 13th, and the event starts at 1 p.m. Eastern each day. Let us teach you how to hire better so that your team can excel. Sign up at manager-tools.com/training.
So we've talked about what minimal viable skill level is. We've talked about how to identify that within your job. So now we're going to talk about assessing your skill level. So once you've got your list, you're going to assess your own competency compared with the skill level required. Again, your performance review, conversations with your boss, and observations of others will all give you an idea here, or at least where to start. And a mentor, if you have one, would also be able to help you. Again, a mentor, that outside perspective to say what you are actually doing can be a very valuable asset when assessing your skill level.
And measuring skill competence is very difficult. It's very difficult for professionals. That's my exams and things are such a big deal. So don't strive for perfection. It's just too hard. So just create a 10-point scale, pick a number for where you think you need to be and a number for where you are. Assuming that your list consists of skills that are genuinely required for your role, even if you get this part wrong and you work on the wrong 5 skills, you're still improving your skills on skills that are required for your role. Right? If all 10 are required for your role and you work on the wrong 5, there's still skills that are required for your role. So it doesn't matter. If you think about this for more than a minute, you're thinking too long. Just pick a number, go with your first instinct. It's good enough. I promise you, the longer you think about it, the harder it becomes, because then you start to split and you're like, oh, I'll make that one 7.5. And then you think, you look at the next one, you're like, oh, that one's between 7.25. And then you're bound to 7.374. 737, and it's just too much. So go for whole numbers and just pick a number. You'll be right-ish.
Yeah. And it's, again, it's the starting point. This is one of your first times going through it. Trust your gut. Your list is definitely going to have items where you match or exceed the minimum viable skill level required. And for the rest of this guidance, we're going to ignore those. If you've already met or exceeded, those are not the skills that we're talking about because you already have them and you met it. We're talking about the ones that you need to develop. There will also be items where you do not reach the minimum viable skill level required. So before you go on to the next action, that's where you rank those, the ones that you have not met the minimum standard. And going off of what Wendy was saying, based on your numbers, your ranking, the bottom half of those is the ones that you want to focus on.
If you only have items where you match or exceed the minimum viable skill level required, then you should be listening to the How to Get Promoted series. So you should switch this off and go search on the website for How to Get Promoted, because you have already reached where you need to be to do this job and you should be looking at the next job.
We're just talking about those skills that we need to develop. So if you've met them, we're going to move on, right? This is not for you. And now if you've ranked them and you do have skills that you need to develop, we're going to now talk about bringing your weaknesses up to the minimum viable skill level.
So first, we're going to work on our weaknesses and bring them up to the minimum viable skill level required. And it might seem a bit odd to start here, because if you work on your strengths, you have the potential to reach the infinite upside, like the marketing example earlier. Why would you work on your weaknesses, which can't pay you anymore, when you could work on your strengths, which can give you an infinite pay amount? But there's a reason for that. So I'm going to consider a surgeon who has thought about the skills to require his required to do his job and has a list of 10 essential skills. And they assess their competence at each. And mathematically, some of them have to be weaknesses. Even if they are an excellent surgeon and they've ranked 7 of their skills at 10 out of 10 and 3 of them at 9.9 out of 10, those 3 are weaknesses. It's not criticism, it's just math.
Mm-hmm. So let's imagine that this is a self-aware surgeon who has ranked their skills honestly and their weakest area is suturing wounds. Okay, stick with us here. We're going to suspend the belief or disbelief that surgeons typically don't do their own suturing.
Nor are they that self-aware. So, you know, it's a bit of an imaginary example, but we'll keep going.
Oftentimes they have people that do that for them. But for our purpose in our example, we're going to pretend that they suture for themselves. They're brilliant with patients and excel in organ procedures, but struggle with the needlework. The surgeon could focus on their strengths, becoming even more specialized and renowned for their operations. That's the potential infinite upside. However, if they never improve on their suturing skills and all the patients see of their work is the ugly tangled mess that is the stitches and the infection that they get because it wasn't closed properly and the ugly scar that they're left with forever, it doesn't matter how good they are at the rest of their job. They'll never achieve that infinite upside. Not meeting the minimum level holds them back and could potentially damage their reputation over time.
Because when somebody says, can you recommend a surgeon? Someone's going to say, yeah, he's really nice, but have you seen this scar? It doesn't look good. Or someone's going to say, yeah, apparently my insides are working great, but I've got this really ugly thing and I had to go back to the hospital because I had an infection. Like, it doesn't matter how nice he is, or how good he is at the bit they don't see. The bit they see matters.
We're excited to announce that the Manage Your Tools license is evolving to offer pathways to professional excellence. Soon, you'll be able to choose between 3 distinct licenses, the Career Tools license, the Manage Your Tools license, and the Executive Tools license. Each of these licenses is specifically designed to provide you resources and benefits tailored to your current career stage. Whether you're just starting out, managing teams, or leading at the executive level, we'll have a license that matches your specific needs and future aspirations. Each license will offer benefits customized to help you excel in your current role and prepare you for your next career move. For existing licensees, keep an eye on your inbox for emails detailing what's happening, how you'll benefit, and special opportunities to gain even more by renewing your license early. And for those of you who aren't licensees, don't miss out on this chance to supercharge your pathway to professional excellence. Join us as a licensee now to take your professional development to new heights with a license perfectly suited to your career stage. If you join before the transition, you will reap extra benefits.
So working on your strengths is the fun part. Surgeons generally like the cutting people open and the fiddling with organs bit, as far as I understand it, not that I would do it. But bringing your weaknesses up to the minimum required rarely is the fun bit. Like, we don't want to do it. The surgeon doesn't want to spend time suturing oranges, as I understand it, how you practice, or taking the time to close up wounds carefully and make sure his knots are right when he's finished operating. What he wants to do is go out to the family and say, I did a great job, right? Why would he take the time to do this, like, beautiful stitching? Whatever your weakness is, you probably don't want to work on it either. And it's okay because we're with you. Mm-hmm. Especially if it's one of those skills that has to be practiced every day, like communicating status.
Yeah, we hope we'll get better over time. Yeah,
exactly.
But we don't because we're like, no, we'll focus on it tomorrow.
Yeah.
But we're missing out because that's the day-to-day task is what everybody always sees.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah, you can be really good at presentations, but how often do you give a presentation? Whereas if you send sloppy emails, you do that 20 times a day, 50 times a day, however many. If you send meeting invites and you're really bad with time zones, you do that way more than you, I don't know, throw a party or, you know, organize an event.
Yeah, people notice it when you can't do just the basic requirements of your job. Because we have those conversations where like, oh, they can't even do the basics. How am I going to trust them to
exactly
do all of the other things that I need them to do if they don't have the minimum down?
Yes. Yeah, and saving files and putting them in the right place and all that stuff that nobody wants to do. So the good thing about the minimum viable skill level is that you only have to meet the minimum viable skill level. The surgeon only has to suture well enough for the patients to see a neat line of stitching, for there to be no infection and no scar. Or little scar, I guess. No scar is maybe too much, I don't know. They don't have to be the perfect suturer. They don't need to win an award for their suturing. If status communication is your weakness, you don't have to write paragraphs in your status email at the end of the day. You just need to remember to send one with the information your team requires. It doesn't have to be perfect. You just have to send one. It's the minimum viable level, not be good at it. That's the nice yeah. thing about minimum viable levels. You only have to reach the minimum viable level.
You just have to meet the standard.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Now, if this skill is not a strength you wish to cultivate, like the security guard and communication, any effort you put in over and above the minimum level required is wasted. So that's the good news, right? If you've met the minimum, the requirement, you're good to go. You don't have to put in extra effort on top of that. So consider this example. An engineer whose job involves explaining complex systems to potential customers. He and his team use whiteboards to illustrate the system in stages, but his messy drawings often mean that the explanation is lost. So when he's observing his colleagues, he notices that at a particular customer meeting, the room has faint horizontal lines on the whiteboard, giving presenters there an advantage, right?
So use that
to follow along. Yeah, use that room, or make sure the next whiteboard you have has those lines. Again, work smart, mm-hmm. right? Give yourself an advantage. And he also watches YouTube videos by teachers offering advice on effective whiteboard writing. So learning how to bring that up to the standard, right? There are helpful videos on YouTube, TikTok, I am sure. Lots of things out there about how to write on a whiteboard. And then after implementing these strategies, he presents 5 times without anyone commenting on his drawing abilities. So you see the minimum, you know what you need to change, you work on it a little bit, bring it up to the standard, and then when no one says anything that is bad, you know you've made it.
You got it, right? He's reached the minimum level, and there's no point in him investing more time and energy in improving his drawing abilities any further. Like, there's some people that can draw a perfect circle on a whiteboard. I can't. It's not necessary for my job. It's not necessary for anybody. No, that's true, but it pretty is necessary for some people's job. But there's no necessity in the scenario we've described for this guy to be able to do that. So learning how to do that, unless he wants to do it just to be able to show off, is pointless time invested and effort. And probably, given that this was one of his weaknesses, probably something he doesn't want to do. So don't do it. It's better to spend time learning some new engineering concept so that he can contribute more to the team and therefore get promoted.
And once you hit the minimum viable skill level for non-critical skill, it's time to stop working on that skill and redirect your efforts to either another weakness or something of your strengths. This is optimizing. Exactly what Wendy said. If you don't need to spend the time to bring it up past the standard, your time is better spent elsewhere.
So constantly trying to improve our weaknesses is a waste of time and energy. So all the people that you've ever read that have written that is true. But getting to the minimum level required is required. And when you've got there, move on, develop your strengths or new skills that add value. I have heard no one complaining about having too much time. And so the time you have for professional development is limited. Focus it on the things that matter most. Thanks, Amanda.
Awesome. Thank you, Wendy.
We'll be back next week with another topic. Bye, everyone.
Bye.